It was awesome. The Lord gave me some a subject to teach on, and he gave it to me before I left for Puerto Rico. But while I was there, one of those early mornings, I was able to put it all together with the help of the Spirit of God. So, Father, I pray that as we go through your word, Father, even as we read it, Lord, that your Spirit will work in each one of our hearts and bring about the things that need to be brought up. Father, make us aware of the areas that we need improvement. And Father, we just thank you for, no matter what, making us part of your kingdom to one day stand before you and call you holy. And thank you for the salvation that you're bringing us. Now, Father, give us ears to hear, hearts to understand, and willingness to obey. And we thank you, we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to go, maybe. Jonathan, just do a first click there, and then after that, usually it works good. There you go. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 25. Let me give you the setting of this. Jesus has just spoke to the disciples and told them about the things that were to come before the kingdom of heaven would show up. You know, he talked about signs and wonders and this thing and that thing before the coming of the Lord. And then after all of that he spoke to his disciples, then he gave a parable. And so in verse 14 of Matthew chapter 25, he started this parable. And this is Jesus speaking. He said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his good to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you have delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also who had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servants. Servant, you have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Excuse me. This is a very interesting parable from Jesus. First, Jesus starts saying that the kingdom of heaven is very similar to what this parable has to say. And I go, whoa. The Lord wants us to invest that which he has entrusted into us. It seems that our obedience or our neglect to obey will have eternal effects in our future ruling and reigning with him. And it seems that Jesus doesn't think very favorable on those who neglect to invest their gifts for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. The words that Jesus said the Lord used were wicked, lazy, and unprofitable. And those are very strong words used against that unprofitable servant. There is an undeniable parallel to the situation that you and I face today as Christians. If we Christians call Jesus our Lord, then we are his servants. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, Paul said to the Corinthians, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So, we do not belong to ourselves. If we call Jesus Lord of our lives, then we do not belong to ourselves. I know that sometimes we walk in life like we're the master of our lives, but if we call Jesus Master and Lord, then we are not. He is. Now, according to the following scriptures, we have been given gifts, talents, and abilities. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 4, it says, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all." And then verse 7 says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." So we have received gifts and talents and abilities to be used for the profit of all, not just the church, but the world itself. In Romans chapter 12, verse 6, Paul says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." So we all had gifts given from the Lord based on the grace that God has shown upon each one of us. Now, both Jesus and the Apostle Peter said that these gifts are given by the Lord to everyone based on their God-given individual ability. We read in Matthew 25, verse 15, when Jesus was saying the parable, that the Lord said, And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. In other words, somebody could handle 5 talents. Somebody else couldn't have handled 5, but he was given 2. And then 1 could not handle even 2, so he was given 1. And then in 1 Peter, Peter declares, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. So, see, God is not going to judge you based on what he has given me. He's going to judge you based on what he has given you. And he has given each one of us, every child of his, have some gift, talents, and abilities given by him through his grace. And then, after the Lord gives his gifts to his servants, we saw in the parable that Jesus said, he gave the 1 5, the 1 2, and then the third 1 1. And then he says that he went on a journey. You know, this sounds very much like what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, where Paul, talking to the Ephesians, he says, therefore, he says, and he's talking about Jesus, when he, Jesus, ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Isn't that what this parable was talking about? Well, Jesus ascended on high, and when he did, he gave gifts to all his children, including you and me. Amen. So he has invested into all men. Some use it to the uttermost, some use it a little, and some hide it on the ground. I believe that Matthew 25:25 has a very important revelation for us today. Matthew 25:25, this servant that got the 1 talent, he spoke to his master on the day of reckoning. And what does he say in verse 25? And I was afraid and went and hid your talent. That servant was afraid. Afraid of what? Probably afraid of failure. Afraid of embarrassment. Afraid of what other people may think of him. Afraid that his Lord would find out his lack of interest and his disobedience on the Lord's commission. You know, Jesus would not ask you to do something where he has not provided the ability to do it. That would be unfair, and God is not an unfair God. He is a just God. So if he is asking each one of us something, then we have what it takes to accomplish it. It's not unfair to us something that we cannot. In the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus is speaking. And he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You know, all that Jesus is asking to you and to me at this point is to be a witness. What does a witness do? A witness speaks of what he saw. A witness declares what he has experienced. Do you remember... There's a story in the Bible in Mark chapter 5 where Jesus went with his disciples to the area of the Gerasenes. I guess so. It must have been Gadara. And there he met a demon-possessed guy that had some such supernatural strength that he would break chains and shackles, and he was in torment all along. He was demon possessed, and Jesus, this was a pagan place, and Jesus came to minister to the house of Israel, but he had a particular mission with this possessed of Gadara. And he went specifically to that place, and he ministered to this guy, and so he spoke to the demon in him, and the demon said, don't torture us. Don't throw us out of this country. We want to stay here. We're comfortable here. And Jesus said, what's your name? And they said, Legion, for we're many. And so Jesus said, the demon spoke to Jesus and said, don't send us out. Can we go into the pigs? And Jesus said, yeah. And so they went to the pigs, and the pigs ran to the cliff and drowned in the ocean. And so the possessed man came, bowed before Jesus, acknowledged what Jesus has done. he was naked. He was dressed up. He was probably healed up from all the scars from that demonic attack. And he was in his right mind. And so let's read what happens next. So Jesus healed him, and he gets back into the boat with the disciples. And it says in Mark 5:18, and when Jesus got into the boat, he who had been demon possessed begged him that he may be with him. He wanted to go with Jesus. Who wouldn't, right? After all that deliverance. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, listen closely. This is where it hits home. He told that demon-possessed guy that got delivered, he says, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. That's what Jesus is calling each one of us today. Jesus wants you to tell others the things that he has done for you. He doesn't want you to have fancy words. He doesn't want you to use religious talk. Just tell him in your own words what Jesus has done for you. I'm sure he's done something for you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. You don't need to be afraid of failure. You don't need to be afraid of embarrassment. Afraid of what other people might think of you. You don't even need to be afraid of your ignorance of scripture. And afraid of your lack of fancy religious words to say. That's not needed. Just tell people what has happened to you since you gave your life to Jesus. That's not a whole lot, and it's not difficult. And Jesus would tell each one of us because we are able to do it. Now the question is, are we willing to do it? Let's talk a little bit about fear. First of all, that servant was fearful. He said, I was afraid and I hid your talent. And some of us are doing just that. First of all, fear comes from the enemy, the devil. The first thing that Adam and Eve did when they sinned was to hide because of fear. They had never experienced fear before. However long they lived before that moment, we don't know. But in Genesis chapter 3, verse 10, God is talking to Adam. He said, Adam, where are you? And verse 10 says, so he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. You know, most forms of pride are rooted in fear. We act pridefully because we're fearful of something. We think we're better than this, that, and the other. Actually, the root cause is we're fearful that people will find out who we really are. We become more concerned about people's opinion of us than the opinion God has of you and me. And so we hide behind a mask that says, that's not me. That's not my thing to be talking to people about what I have experienced or what I have received. I don't talk about those things. It's very personal. Listen. God has not given us a spirit of fear. And if his fear was holding you back from being a testimony of what Jesus has done, then that didn't come from God. Fear doesn't come from God. In fact, in 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul is talking to Timothy. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. So fear comes from the enemy. We need to get that. Whenever we're fearful, we need to stop right then and there and say, wait a minute. Why am I fearful? This is not God. This is the enemy trying to steal, kill, and destroy something that I've got. And we need to react to it. Jesus is our Lord, and we are his servants. We saw that in scripture already. And we, as the servants of the Lord, are called by Jesus to tell others what he has done for us. Amen. And you know what? He's not coming back for the church until the gospel is preached and demonstrated in the whole world. He said that to his disciples just before talking about this parable. In Matthew 24:14, Jesus says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. What end? The end that we were singing about, that Pastor Asia was talking about. We're all going to be gathered before the throne of God, and every nation, tongue, tribe, and peoples, along with the angels and the 24 elders, we will be worshiping and praising God and shouting praises to our God. You know, that's not all we're going to be doing. I hope you understand that. That's a subject for another day. But Heaven is going to come down to earth. We're going to be temporarily in the heaven above. But then heaven and God will come down and establish heaven on earth. And we're coming down to earth back again on a new and restored and renewed earth. And I'm sure we will not be restricted just to earth. You know, scientists are trying to go to Mars and the moon and all of that. I think we're going to go just like that. Let me think of Mars, and if I got a mission to Mars, I'll be there just like saying, beat me up, Scotty, you know. I don't know how that's going to be, but I'm looking forward to it. You think science fiction was invented by man? Listen, a lot of the things that have been called science fiction in the past is reality today. And who gave the wisdom and the knowledge to bring that about? It's the Lord. He gave gifts to men, and one of those was imagination and revelation of the future in part. And God has got some things prepared for us that are going to blow us out of our socks if we were using them. So, let me see where we are. So as you tell others, wow, rain is coming, yay. As you tell others what Jesus has done for you, it is then that you're investing your talents for the kingdom of heaven. See, that's what Jesus was bringing with that parable. And you know, he said, to the world, these parables, they won't see it. But to his church, they will understand and they will bring about. And this parable is fairly simple, fairly straight through, but it's powerful. And there are great rewards for being obedient to the Lord in this commission that the Lord has given us. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. I don't have a testimony. I haven't been in drugs. I haven't killed anyone. I haven't been in jail. You know, we were talking about that, my wife and I don't know who else around us. And somebody was saying that they didn't think that they had a testimony, like, you know, somebody being in drugs or in alcohol, being in a gang or whatever. You know, I've been in the church all my life. I was born in the church. I was born again in the church. And I have never done anything extremely terrible. Well, that's an awesome testimony. That is an awesome testimony. You didn't have to partake of the sin of the world to realize Jesus is the best thing, or the best one that can happen in your life. That's the greatest testimony. But your testimony is unique compared to every other testimony of anyone in the world. You are a unique individual with unique experiences, thoughts, feelings, and only you can tell your testimony the right way. You know, we try to tell testimonies about others, but we may leave important details that only you who have experienced them can tell them. And that is what Jesus is calling each one of us to do. Invest the talents that he has given you. You were saved by believing and declaring words of life. And so you invest in God's kingdom by believing and declaring words to others as well. That's why you have to open your mouth and speak to those around you. Don't allow fear to stop you from fulfilling the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord told Joshua in chapter 1 of Joshua, verse 9, he said, have I not commanded you? Jesus is telling us through that, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, for fear is from the enemy. Nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so the Spirit of the Lord is with us every time we come together as a church and we enjoy freedom here. But we want to enjoy that same freedom wherever we are, not just in church. And we cannot be someone here and be somebody else out there. We got to become transparent. So, if you live in fear, if you are suffering from panic attacks, if you are always anxious and stressed out, if you are addicted to substances, then you're living in fear. All of that is bondage to fear. And according to 1 John 4:18, I lost my screen. No, it's not working. 1 John